mysterious Malacha of Dash. Just to highlight some of the key points, and maybe we'll also use the opportunity to address some other general Malacha issues that come along within it. Dash is a little bit of a mysterious Malacha. If I ask you to translate, which again I think is always a worthwhile exercise when we talk about the Malachas, if I ask you to translate Dash into English, almost every Malacha, I don't know if I pointed this out so clearly, almost every Malacha, if you try to translate into English, you will have to take a stand in terms of what it means, in terms of issues in the Rishonim and the like. So if I ask you to translate Dash, anyone want to take a stab at it?
Threshing.
Oh, okay, threshing, great. So guys, do not thresh on Shabbos. Yes?
It could be a form of a broad form of extracting.
Okay, extracting. So like, for example, if you have a zip file, I guess you should not...
you're squeezing something, you're taking something out of like a shell, or if you're squeezing something out.
Taking a lemon and you're squeezing it to make lemon.
Right, the liquid that comes from its heart. I mean, these might fall into the category of photos, but they make up the broader category of Dutch.
Okay.
Precursor to
Borer. Precursor to Borer. Okay, I think all of you just now, Ephraim, Yosef, and Shlomo all said true things. I don't know if any of them, though, answer the direct question, right? Translating.
Right. Who says Dutch air extracting?
Who says?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, okay.
What does it say?
Is it Dutch threshing or extracting? Is Dutch?
Okay, so extracting is probably a more useful definition for us non-farmers. But that seems to be, threshing seems to be something along those lines. But we have to figure out if it means extracting, so extracting what from where, when from what. And our Gemara is, somewhat helpful, but we wouldn't mind if it was a little more helpful. So the Gemara, in terms of taking off the Malacha, taking off the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, V'hadash, the bottom of Ayin Gimel Mebeis, Tana Hadash, V'hamenafet, V'hamenafet, Kula Malacha Achasein, which is not really so relevant to the central definition of Dash. What these phrases mean, as Rashi explains, is let's say you have something which you have flax or something like that, which is encased within some type of a covering, and you smash it with some type of a kli, which is meant to flatten it out so that the covering disappears, so then that's a form of dash. But it's not clear that that really helps us define dash, and this whole mishum issue, or kula malacha achas, saying we never know what the language means. We're talking toldos, we're talking extra avos. There's a lot to figure out about that. So what's actually a little bit more instructive, perhaps in terms of getting us into a dashing discussion, is a few lines above that. We saw this when we talked about kotzer. So the Gemara has this statement here. It says, "Hai man," that should not be read as "Hey man." Hai man deshada pisul adikla. Let's say you have somebody who throws a clump of dirt, let's say, at a dekel, at a date tree. Also tamari. And you have tamari, you have tamarim fall out. Chayiv shtayim, achas mishum tolesh, achas mishum mefarik. Then you're doing two malachas then. One tolesh, which seems to be an aspect of kotzer, and one mefarik, which seems to be an aspect of dash, although as we'll see, that's not so clear. So Rashi is very not clear here. But Rashi talks about mefarik toldo de dash, shemefarik tvula mishibuleha, lashon porek min ha-chamur. So it sounds like it's saying that because you separate the tvua, you separate the produce from its covering. We see Tosfos translates, Tosfos quotes it a little bit differently. And Rashi goes on to quote other opinions. This Rashi is a little bit vague, and it's interesting if maybe the other Rishonim had a different version of Rashi, possibly. Because if you look at the way Tosfos quotes it, V'achas mishum mefarik, Zayn nira l'ri, kamo shemefarish Rashi, shemefarik ha'ilon mimaso. Right, Rashi, in our Gemara, Rashi doesn't use those words exactly, but that's the way Tosfos seems to have had it. That you have a tree, and the tree, Nebuch, it's got a big burden. It has fruits on it. So by knocking the fruits off, so you will free it from its burden, So that's how Rashi has it, and the Ri doesn't like it. So again, it doesn't seem to be our Rashi exactly, but then maybe there was a Girsa issue. But in any event, that's one interpretation which Tosus doesn't like. Ela kamosha pirush beinu Shmuel sheyeshal tamarim klipa hel yona v'kishu makav tamarim mefarikas haklipa min hatamarim. So that there is a external covering on these dates, and when you hit the dates with your clump of dirt, you are knocking this covering off. The heavy kimo dash, and that's like dash, which is also not such a helpful word to put in there. We say kimo. It's like a modern tendency to insert the word like in the middle of every sentence, but what does it mean in terms of the malacha? Shemefarik es hatvua min hashibolas. So it means the tolda, perhaps, but it means that you are separating, you are unleashing the tvua from its covering. So that's the dash part of the malacha. So it seems like you have already two views in the Rishonim, how this example in the Gemara is a form of dash, and the Chidush Haran, what we call the Miyuchas Haran, that's not really the Ran, but the Chidush Haran, whoever it is, so he says a little bit differently. He says, why are we talking about dates specifically? If we want to use one of these definitions, it could be any type of fruit growing on a tree. So it's probably a focus in the fact that it's there in a cluster, in an eshkol, and you're separating that from each other. Which, because once you knock it off the tree, and then it falls from the tree to the ground, so then the impact on the ground is going to separate. Which is interesting also, because that's kind of an indirect type of action. That's already, it's indirect in the sense we call that koach kocho, that you're first throwing something at the tree that was your koach, and then causing it to then hit the ground. It's either called a Rube Goldberg device. He was a cartoonist who had these very elaborate types of inventions. Or in halacha, it's called koach kocho. And it's a question when koch kocho is a chiyuv or not. There are those who would maintain, I think Yosef Mech had a comment like this, that maybe in the context of Shabbos, when we discussed a few weeks ago, a few months ago, we actually went over it in the Chazara recently, that if Shabbos requires that you do a malacha directly, as opposed to through shlichus, or opposed to through some indirect mechanism, that koch kocho may not be a chiyuv on Shabbos. You have to figure out exactly how that fits in. But in any event, it seems to be that the malacha of extracting things is considered to be dash. And there is an interesting formulation in the Rambam. So we'll put the Rambam together. It's very striking what he says, and I did not mean that as a pun, but that's actually what he defines as part of dash. As we'll see. Look at the language. The Rambam in Hilchot Shabbos in Paraches Halacha Zayin, he writes as follows. And he's going through the malachas in order here, so he's talked about the malachas we've talked about so far, and then he introduces dash in Halacha Zayin. He says, what is dash? He says, dash kigrogris chayiv. Okay, that's the shear. Ve'ein, and that's a subject to debate as well. So you have to talk about that also. It sounds like a machlokis in the Gemara, if that's true, that ein disha ela b'gedulei karka. We've been talking about gedulei karka as a possible criterion for a lot of malachas. V'hamafare karehi toldas hadash v'chayiv v'chein kol kiyotze b'zeh. Then he goes on to say, hachole v'sabehema, if somebody milks a cow, so then he's chayiv mishum mefarek, because he is separating, he's extracting the milk from inside the body. V'chein achovel b'chay, sheyesh bo or chayiv mishum mefarek. And so too, the act of chavala, which we'll also have to see what kind of malacha that is. Here the Rambam says that chavala is a chayiv because of mefarek. Why? Because you are extracting blood. Right, what other malacha could chavala possibly be? Schita is possibly the same thing as dash, as we'll see. But you say, unless you pronounced it in a, what's the honor way? Do you mean say schita or shchita? So shchita, right, it could be that it could be both schita and shchita, right? That shchita normally would mean to kill an animal, but we find sometimes the Gemara says that chavala is miksas shchita. So maybe it's possible that causing a wound might be an aspect of shchita on an animal. But here we find the Rambam says that it is an aspect of mefarik, which is an aspect of dash. However, says the Rambam, that means that you need the blood that's coming out. So if you have some desire to extract blood from an animal, so you are going to be chovel the animal for that purpose. So then that is this malacha, avalim niskavein lahazik bilvad, pater mipnei shuhu mikalkel. But if you're not trying to extract the blood, you just want to hurt the animal for some reason. So besides the issues of Tzar Bali Chayim, but in terms of Malachas of Shabbos, you are not violating that because the action is a kilkel. And you have to have a shear of kegrogris. And if you look, the Ravid disagrees with that because the Ravid says we're dealing with liquids here and liquids have a different measurements. That's what the Ravid Sasaga is about. Then the Rambam goes on to say something utterly fascinating. In the next halacha, this is what I said was striking in both senses of the word, striking and talking about striking, says, when do we say that you are a potter if you're only trying to do damage when you're hitting an animal or a bird or something like that? If you punch your friend, and you wound your friend, even though your intent is to be destructive, so you're going to have many more issues, of course, but in terms of Hilcha Shabbos, you're also in trouble. Because this is going to cool you down, you're so upset that you want to hit him, and now you've hit him, and now you're going to feel better. V'harehu kamitakein. So that's really a fascinating idea that could be a chiyuv as well. That essentially it comes from metakein. That's really an unbelievable idea. We find this idea also. The Gemara talks about in terms of somebody tearing kriya. That if since tearing kriya would seem to also be a destructive act, and it's not karei amanas litvor, you're not tearing so that you can fix it better. In fact, some kriyas is an isser to fix it up afterwards, depending on the circumstances. But the Gemara suggests that because it's a emotional release, so therefore that is a tikkun that one is chayav for. So that's a fascinating application. So this indicates that basically extracting something from a natural covering is a chiyuv of dash. And that has some fascinating implications. So first of all, in terms of the difference between this and borer, so are we saying that this is the same thing as borer, or is this of a group with borer? So that just a bederach hakdama for the next couple of weeks. So it's not so unusual for borer, I guess the puns are too tempting here, the whole point of borer is to separate from the taruvis. But Borer itself is Mu'uruv and a lot of other malachas that are hard to separate. It's not clear what the difference is. So the Bavli will see that there are different gersos about this, which is going to make a difference. But the Bavli, which we'll talk about in future weeks, the Bavli assumes that the three malachas that are linked together on the bottom of this page says, Hainu Zora, Hainu Bora, Hainu Merake. That those three are generally considered to be the three malachas that seem to have identical purposes. And that'll be a topic in the next couple of Sundays. That Zora, Bora, and Meraki seem to be three forms of the same malacha. However, there are different nuschos to that sentence. So the Yerushalmi has a different version of this. We'll talk about that. It's very relevant to defining the malacha of Zora. We'll talk about that in the future. But the Ran, the Chidush HaRan, has Dosh in here. That Dosh also seems to be essentially indistinguishable, inseparable from Borer. And we have to figure out what are the subtle differences that justify it being included as a separate Malacha. Some achronim maintain that it's two steps of the same process, that dash is a preparation for zorah, or that for borer, that you first have to kind of break things open, and then you can actually separate them out. That's what borer is, that all of these sidur depas malachas are kind of going in part of a process, and therefore dash has to be an introduction to borer. Others understand that the difference is that dash is a natural, connected type of mixture, while borer means things just happen to be mixed up within each other. There are some who distinguish within dash, which is not the case with borer, that maybe it has to be naturally connected, naturally mixed up. Maybe borer doesn't necessarily have such a requirement. So there's a lot to figure out in terms of what comparisons are worthwhile making between dash and borer, and what halachos may connect the two. So for example, when it comes to borer, we find that there is a heter of la'altar, that if you're going to use something immediately, so then it's mutter, or within other conditions as well. So the Shuvas HaRashba extends this to a few other malachas, including dash. So you could say, because dash is comparable to borer, but the Rashba is really saying more than that, because the Rashba extends it to malachas that are not borer-like also. But not everyone agrees with that. So Shaila, whether or not there is a heter of la'altar when it comes to dash. Another heter that might sometimes come up is, you talk about when it comes to borer, sometimes your mekel, if you don't completely separate the two groups, the ochel and psolas. Let's say, for example, you take a little bit of ochel out together with your psolas, then that may be a heter. So then that's sometimes applied to dash as well. There is also a big discussion about this possible requirement of gedulei karka, and you see that this is a discussion in the second Tosus, that Tosus is bothered by Rashi in a couple ways. So before the previous Tosus, Tosus v'achas mishum mafarik, Tosus objects to his version of Rashi because of how he defines where the piruk is applied, what exactly is being separated from what. But then he points out the Gemara doesn't actually use the word dash, and Tosfos doesn't think it's necessarily right. Tosfos says, Perish Rashi, to have a tolda de dash. The Kashal Rebbeinu Tam. Rebbeinu Tam doesn't like this. Why not? Because the Gemara later on in Sadihei will say, Hacholev Chayev Mishum Mefarik. That milking is a, nursing is a, Chiyuv of Mefarik. If you have a tolda de dash, if you're going to say that Mefarik is dash, so ha amal kamon give pesach chilazon the rabbanon ain't dishal b'duke karka. But if we assume that the view of rabbanon, which is a question whether we paskin like this or not, we saw the Rambam did paskin like it. But if we say ain't dishal b'gedule karka, so then how could you say that cholev, which talks about behemoths, is Tosus skipped a few words. Tosus is a cholev. How could that be considered, when it applies to a behemah, how could that be considered gedulei karka? So even though there is what to discuss, we mentioned in previous malachos that maybe a behemah could be considered gedulei karka in terms of the fact that it eats that which grows from the ground, and therefore it's considered to be growing from the ground. So it's questionable whether or not that logic could apply here, because Tosfos argues on that maybe it depends what we're comparing it to. And here it's not likely that the animal would match the definition of the gedulei karka. And also he points out that the Gemara in Bava Metzia, a little synergy from last year, we didn't deal with this section, but the Gemara says about the prohibition of lo sachsom shor bedisho, right, that you're not allowed to muzzle your ox when it is threshing. So then we're talking, the Gemara says that the disho applies to literally gedulei karka. So that's an interesting question. Do you have to use the same standard? You have the word disha there. Does disha in that context have to mean the same thing as here? So not necessarily. Aruch HaNer in his Kedushin to Yevamos points out that the Torah doesn't ever use the word dash when talking about Shabbos. We only know that we have to derive the malachos from the Mishkan. So we call one of the actions that we derive from the Mishkan, we call it dash. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to match the definition of dash when the Torah does use the word dash in the context of Osachsam Shor B'Rishol. So that opens up a bigger question, which will come up in a lot of other malachas. I think we've alluded to it in the past, that if you have a malacha, which is also an Isser in other areas of life, other areas of halacha, like Zoreya is, say Kosev is, you know, when it comes to tattoos, things like that, Bishul is in some areas. So if you have a definition in other areas of halacha for an action, does the malacha necessarily have to follow the same definition? It's one thing if the Torah uses the same word in two different contexts, you can ask, does it have to mean the same thing? But all the more so when it comes to malachas of Shabbos, the Torah doesn't actually use these words. The Torah just says malacha, and we derive malachas from the Mishkan, so maybe it's not exactly the same standard. So this is a whole discussion whether a cholev is an issue of dash, cholev is mefarik dash, or is it something else? So that's an issue Tosfos has with Rashi, and that could have some important nafkaminas in the question of when we allow milking animals and when we allow nursing, or when we allow rather pumping for a human being on Shabbos. It's a complicated question because if the baby is nursing directly, so we assume that's mutter. It's an interesting discussion why that's mutter, but we assume that that's not considered to be the malacha. It's a whole topic in of itself. But let's assume you don't have a baby nursing. So you have the mother is in pain because it causes a lot of anguish for the milk to build up and it's not being released. So the question is, you want to pump on Shabbos for that reason. You want to pump on Shabbos in order to address that. So that's the whole discussion, which the Poskim talked about, the Magen Avraham talked about. And here the assumption is that there's room lahakel based on if we're not going to keep the milk, if the milk is going to be destroyed, so then it should be a malacha shenetzricha legufa. And the malacha shenetzricha legufa, b'makum tzar, should be mutter. The idea being that if we assume that everything here is about cholev, and that cholev is a aspect of dash, and that dash is about extracting something presumably because you want to use it, that's the nature of dash in the Mishkan. So therefore, if you are extracting not because you want to use it, but because you want it not to be there, so let's say whether it's the human being who's pumping, or also in terms of the shilas that come up by cows in Eretz Yisrael, that it's always been a big discussion. So milking cows on Shabbos was a big machlokas in the time of the Chazanish and afterwards, that to get the milk for usage seems to be a malacha of cholev, literally, but to extract the milk for the purposes of avoiding pain for the animal, avoiding tzar balei chayim, both in the human and in the animal sense. So then, it's a shayla in general, the concept of tzar balei chayim, you'd think kal v'chomer, tzar balei chayim applies to people, but tzar balei chayim means you can't have animals suffer, so mustama kal v'chomer, it applies to people as well. So it's a little bit of a discussion, because some of the poskim say that human beings are chayiv and mitzvos, so therefore they may be expected to tolerate a certain amount of discomfort. But an animal that's not chayiv and mitzvos, so then maybe it's a separate tether to say that protecting an animal from pain is its own justification, which doesn't necessarily translate to humans. But still, we have a concept of makom tzar, whether you want to call it the same idea as tzar balei chayim or something else, but that we should be mekel b'makom tzar if it's a malacha shenetzricha legufa, which we assume is a drabanan. So since here you're extracting the milk not so that you could use it, but so it should go to, it goes to waste, but it relieves the person of pain, so then that seems to be a malacha shenetzricha legufa. We haven't had an opportunity to really address malacha shenetzricha legufa head on, but just to question a second, but just to basically define the term here, that if we assume, which is a machlokas rishon, and maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk about it in more detail, but if we assume that a malacha shenetzricha legufa means that it is an action that's done not for the purpose that action was done in the Mishkan, so then that would seem to match that definition, that in the Mishkan you were extracting because you wanted, and here you're extracting for a side reason. So we assume the halacha probably that a malacha shenetzricha legufa is pater and is only therefore an Isser Drabbanan. And Isser Drabbanan, we say, B'makom Tzar, Lo Gazri Rabbanan. It's important to remember that, and again, we're talking about Malach Shem Shifu Lagufa kind of piecemeal, but it's a machlokis in the Gemara. The view of Rabbi Yehuda is that Malach Hashem Shifu Lagufa is Chayiv. And the Rambam paskins like that. The Rambam paskins that Malach Hashem Shifu Lagufa is also Chayiv. He's in the minority view of the Rishonim, but most of the other Rishonim assume that it's only an Issa Drabbanan. But according to the Rambam, you're Chayiv. So is that a problem here for these Heterim? So it seems like it's a little bit of a problem, although you'll note that the Rambam, again, we don't necessarily paskin like the Rambam, but just in terms of the Rambam's thinking, so you'll notice, as Yosef was asking me about before, that the Rambam does acknowledge an exception, right? He says, when he talks about Chovu B'Behema, he says that if it's Kavanos or Lahazik, then you're Pater. So why are you Pater there? Because it's Mekalkel, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if the malacha itself is fundamentally non-constructive, is fundamentally destructive, even Rabbi Yehuda and the Rambam acknowledge that there is a malacha that's simply completely separated from any constructive purpose, and that is a p'tur. So that's one type of exemption. But that's not necessarily helpful for the pump, let's say, but there is another thing to consider, that it may be that this type of disha is a case to be made that it's not even a malacha. Not that it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, but that maybe it's not even the malacha. So that, we're kind of working backwards up the daf here in terms of defining dash, but the further you go backwards up the daf, you find little clues as to what disha is. So you may recall, I think we spoke a few weeks ago about the brief but very, very significant tosis, which is a major topic of discussion, that Tosfos asks, why is it when the Gemara said earlier that Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim is chayiv shtayim? That if you prune a tree, so you're doing, and you want the wood, you're doing two malachas. You're doing zoreya because you're helping the tree grow better, and you're also doing kotzer because you're, so to speak, harvesting the wood. So, but there's this condition that you have to want the wood. Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim. So why do you have that condition? Because it sounds like if you don't want the wood, then it sounds like it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, right? Because you happen to be harvesting, but you're not interested in the wood. Right? We spoke about this when we talked about the malacha of kotzer, which is a good opportunity to chazer, because we didn't really chazer that malacha. So if you say malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, so then you understand why you have that condition. And that's how some Rishonim understand that condition. But Tosfos over here on the daf says that's not the reason. Tosfos says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mechayiv Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would still have this condition. Why? Because, as Tosfos goes on to explain, that there are some Malachos which are simply not Malachos unless there are certain conditions that are in place. So here, this does not become an act of harvesting at all, unless you have interest in the wood. Because cutting off trees would not automatically be an act of katsira. It's only because you want the wood that it makes it into katsira. It makes a non-malacha into a malacha. So in the end of that Tosfos, he gives other examples. And he says also in terms of disha, that sometimes if you are squeezing out certain types of liquids, so it could be that it's not even a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. But he adds at the end here, Ela taima lefish ein derech disha bekach. In other words, that disha by its very definition means that you are extracting something for usage. And if you have no interest in using something, that's not a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, that's a non-malacha that doesn't even meet the standard of the malacha, and therefore it may be a absolute p'tur. So therefore, that's the basis for heterim to, let's say, pump on Shabbos or to milk cows, that if you're extracting the milk not for usage, so then it seems to be at least a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, but it might be even more than that. It might even be a lack of a malacha in the first place. So therefore, there are different approaches as to how to do this. Some say it's enough to pump and then throw out the milk. And others say that it's better to do it in such a way that it's automatically disqualified for usage. So for example, if you pump into some type of a container that has, let's say, soap in it, so the milk's not going to be drinkable the moment it lands. It's not going to be usable. So maybe that's even better, or maybe that's the requirement. It depends on how you want to define it as not being considered extracting for usage. That, first of all, is it a problem to put it into any kind of a kli? Should you say it has to go right directly into the garbage? Or maybe the kli is okay if you're going to throw it out afterwards? Or maybe we'll say that if you put some type of soap in it or something like that, which is going to make it unusable, that's really what we're looking for in terms of emphasizing that it's not there for use at all. Yosef, I pushed you off before you had a question. Okay, so all of this is also evocative of the fact that we have what's also the whole sugya in the Gemara later on, a couple of blot later on, that there is a malacha called schita, which was alluded to before, that if you're going to squeeze out things, if you're going to, let's say, squeeze out the juice from a fruit, or squeeze out liquid from any other type of container, so then that's considered to be a malacha of schita. And what's interesting about schita, a lot of things interesting about schita, is that there are two versions of schita. There is sochet mishum dash, and there's also sochet mishum malabing, which is a malacha we'll get to later on, that you might be interested in squeezing something out because you want to extract one thing from another, and you want to use that, and then it's subject to whatever conditions are relevant there. Or sometimes you might want to squeeze something out because it's a way of cleaning the item that you are squeezing. You're not necessarily interested in what's coming out. You're interested in separating one thing from the other because the first thing is dirty and you'll clean it out by squeezing it. So there are different versions of sochet with different gedarim, and in each case you have to figure out, are you violating one or the other, and possibly none. So there's sometimes you'll have circumstances where it'll be neither, and then you'll have heterim if that's the case, if it's neither version of sochet. You have to figure out exactly what's going on. This is one of the major issues with baby wipes, the whole discussion whether or not that's an issue of sochet. There's a major machlokas in metzias and in other aspects, that there are other tzadim lahakel. It's a very major issue. This also seems to come up. There is a Mishnah later on, or Mishnah earlier on rather, where the Mishnah says that you shouldn't try to break up ice in order to get water out of it. So it's a Shiloh, what the nature of that? That seems to be an issue of the Rabbanan. It's a Shiloh, what the nature of that Isser is. So some of the Rishonim say that it is a gzeira mishum schita, that even though it doesn't seem to be schita in the normal sense, you're not squeezing something and extracting its liquid, but it's something that you could confuse with sochet, that you might come to take such activity when it comes to fruits and the like. So therefore we aser it midrabanan for that reason. And other Rishonim suggest that it has some component of molid, that you're creating water out of ice, and maybe that's some type of iser, which is a very murky iser. We don't know exactly what the nature of that is. That would have ramifications in the other direction also, in terms of making ice. Are you making water into ice? And that would put water in the freezer in order to do this. So that was a major machlokes, a contemporary poskim, about whether or not there's any iser involved in that, which relates to that whole question of, is there an issue of molid here? Yes, my question.
Rama wouldn't make any distinction of the intent of whether it's against perfectly clean by extracting, or whether, as long as the malach is being done, right? As long as the malach is being done, then he wouldn't care, provided it's not just topical.
Probably. Except that when we get to malabin, we'll see that there are certain broad heterim with Malabin, so if it doesn't match the details, then presumably the Rambam would agree with that, but the broader exemption of Malach Shein Shvich L'Gufi wouldn't necessarily sign on to. So many poskim consider that the question of putting salt on ice, and hopefully it won't be Nogeya, but we're getting to the time of the year when it could theoretically be Nogeya. So the question of putting salt on ice. So most poskim are makel on that. I saw, I think, Rav Nosson Gestetner in a sefer on on the Malachos was actually machmir on this, but I think the prevalent attitude among Poskim was to consider this not to be what that Mishnah is talking about. Here you have no interest in turning the ice into water, you have no interest in using the water at all or in seeing the water at all. You're just interested in the ice disappearing. So to get rid of ice, to melt ice so that it should be gone, doesn't seem to necessarily be a violation of this din. And in any event, it's a din d'rabbanan. And here it's considered to be very likely, depending on where it is, very likely a very significant sakana. So that itself is something to consider, but separate from the sakana heter, it's not clear that this was ever included in the gzeira. And my impression is that Poskim, with the exception of that comment that Moshe Gestetner has in his sefer on the Malachos, I think Poskim would generally makel about this. We discussed when we talked about Choresh the similar machlokas about shoveling snow on Shabbos, which involved other issues of possible violation of Choresh and Ashviya Gumos, and there we saw Machlokas as well, with those who are Machmer and those who are Mekel. We emphasized the possibilities of Hakel in that case also. My impression is that between the two actions, shoveling snow and melting the ice with salt, this one has even broader support, the Hakel. And it's also more of a clear Sakana, so that I think there is a strong basis to be makel on that. What Rav Nosson Gestetner and Atshuva was makel on is, let's say you want to come into the house and you have a welcome mat or something like that where you can wipe off your feet and the mat is saturated with water, so if you step on it, you'll squeeze out water. So is that an issue of Sochet? So he thought there were various tzaddim l'hakel about that, since that it's, you're not interested in what comes out, and it's kalachar yad, and it's a psik racial nichala, you don't have any interest in having the water come out. And then he also adds on that, especially if you're going to, then if you don't do this, you'll be exposed to a cold floor, that's considered to be makom choli, that we have an idea that hakol nechshav kecholi eitzel hakar, and cold is considered to be something which gives a person a status like a sakana. So therefore, he thought there were various tzaddim lahakil about that. Okay, any other issues we should try to cover? We should try to bring anything else? Any questions about anything we've said so far? Yosef?
Just about the Gemara talks about chilazon and the Gemara comes there. It talks about.
Right. So extracting the there, you want to, with the chilazon contains the tcheles. And so you want to extract the tcheles from the chilazon. So that would be one of the straight out forms of dash.
Sorry, I remember, and I just started to see it's supposed to say afterwards that maybe it's touching on this issue, but I remember that we talked about, we do like karka as being animals. So that's, the chilazon would be considered, I mean, it does eat from the ground, so it would be considered to do like karka. So according to the shita that holds that if you do like karka, like, you'd be, the halacha is applicable then. So the Gemara doesn't seem to, wouldn't be as difficult to do the Gemara.
So wouldn't that be a difficulty to quote?
Yeah, the Gemara, because the Gemara seems to say, one of the answers are, I think it was basically implied that that it's different by chilazon because it's not the same as if you would have done it by, let's say, kedulei karka or something.
Right, Tosfos on this daf, and in Gimel Beis raises this question about the chilazon, and that's part of their objection to Rashi, that they don't think that that's something that could fit into the dash category for that reason. If you say that it's mafarik, and if you say that mafarik is about dash, so then how do you reconcile that with right? So that's one of the issues Tosfos raises against Rashi. And again, there are other ways to address it. You could also claim that it happens to be machlokas whether or not we have the standard of dish of kedulei karka, which is machlokas and that gemara about chilazon. So that's a little bit of an open issue that Rishonim discuss. But any other major issues to talk about in terms of dash? All right, so those are, the question again, if it was comparable to borer, so, you know, certain, when it comes to certain fruits, so if it has a completely external shell, so then it seems like it's a problem, but if it's something that's, let's say, like a banana peel, which is not really an external, or an apple, where it's not really an external shell, it's part of the food itself, and it comes off like it's just a thin outer layer. So then many posts can assume that itself is already not an issue. But in addition to that, if it's taken off derech achila, or it's taken off a little bit at a time, or it's always done together, ochel mitoch psolas, which are all pretty natural ways of eating these foods, so together with the question of whether it's an issue to begin with, so they assume that those are all relevant heterim. Okay, so anything else that we didn't cover in terms of this? Sounds about right. All right, so those are some of the major highlights about dash. We'll have to then segue from here. We'll adjourn in a moment. But so basically we're going to segue from here to the group of three, which each one there's enough to say about, so we'll see if we'll try to combine them into one session where we'll have a separate discussion. Borer for sure is a huge topic, but we need to also just discuss that Zorer, Borer, and Merakid, according to the Bavli, those three are linked. And the question is, so what is the difference? So just to give you a little bit of an advance notice of it. So basically the Gemara says, and we'll have to talk about each one in detail, but it says, Zora HaBora HaTochen Merakeh. Says the Gemara here, Hainu Zora, Hainu Bora, Hainu Merakeh. They all are identical. So it seems like they're identical. So Abayi V'Rava, Damar Chavayu, they both gave the answer, Kol Milsa, Dehavya V'Mishkan, Afal Gav, De'ika, De'damilei, even though there are others that are similar to it, each one seems to get its own separate identity. So basically, just in terms of, so you have a little bit of framework when you see the Rishonim, God willing, in the future weeks we'll look at this. So in terms of how to read that, that the Gemara asked a question and gave half an answer. Now basically, the Gemara says that these are three malachos that are essentially identical. So, or they share a common purpose, so why are they listed as separate slots within the 39, especially when we see that things like Ofa and Bishul can occupy one slot, so why do these three malachas get three slots? So the Gemara says, well, anything that was done in the Mishkan, which may or may not be the case, let's say, for example, with Ofa and Bishul, depending on how you define things, but anything that was done in the Mishkan, so that even though it may be comparable to another malacha, gets its own status. So that's only half an answer, because what the Gemara is basically saying is that you're right, they're pretty comparable, but they're slightly different. And if it hadn't been that they were in the Mishkan, they all would have been included under one heading. But because all of them took place in the Mishkan, so their slight differences are enough to give them their own title. Because they must be slightly different if they were identical. If they did Borer three times in the Mishkan, it wouldn't count as three malachas. So what the Gemara is basically saying is that they're slightly different, not different enough that they should have been counted as three, except for the fact that they're all in the Mishkan. So that's half an answer. So the other half of the answer you have to say is, so what is the slight differences? And what are the slight differences between them? So that was a topic the Rishonim disagreed on, or maybe they disagreed on, but you find different suggestions among the Rishonim. What are the slight differences of these three malachos that at least account for them being called something else, at least having different names? And then the rest of it is that they were in the Mishkan, so then they got their own status. So that's just a good thought to have in your mind in the future when we look at these malachos. The Rishonim are going to try to explain, yes, we acknowledge that they are similar, but there's a slight difference. What exactly is it? Okay, so we'll stop there. One should have a wonderful day. Weather should not force them to have any shilas of breaking up ice or shoveling snow or anything like that. Should stay warm. And tomorrow, God willing, we'll get into the makom of the hadlaka of Neres Chanukah. Major, major significant stuff.
Oh.
Think, I got it. All right,
head jump.
Have a wonderful day.